This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready?
Welcome, showrunners, to episode 46 of the Showrunner Podcast. I'm your host, John Nastor, and I'm also, I believe, Defender of Humanity. And I'm joined all the way from San Diego with my co-host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker, and too many titles to remember. Jared, thanks for joining me.
Hey, Johnny, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
That was hard. It's so weird because this is like 46 episodes. I don't know if I've done an intro before.
We just thought we'd switch it up a little bit. Why not?
Yeah, it was good. It was okay. Yours sounds like you've done it 45 times.
Yes, I thought you were fantastic.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Yes.
All right. So now what do we do?
Well, I think now we need to tell folks about the Showrunner course. What do you think?
Yeah, we should. 3 days left.
So on our little sheet here, you have a line that you're supposed to say to lead me into my part of this.
Oh, geez. Sorry, man. Sorry. Johnny.
No. You're Johnny. That means you say the line. This is much harder than I was expecting it to be.
Okay. I'm gonna stop this recording and start again.
No, let's keep it. Just keep it. The ish hit the fan. It's okay.
And now, a dramatic reading of the Showrunner call to action.
You've heard all the talk about podcasts. They're so hot right now. They help you create a powerful connection with your audience. The technology to produce them isn't as complicated as you might think. This is why so many podcast audiences are growing, and why so many people are launching new podcasts, and why big brands are pouring more and more and more money into podcast advertising. All of which makes this moment right now, today, an undeniably great time to be a podcast listener. But is it still a good time to actually launch a podcast? Or is the audio gold rush over? It's a great time to launch a podcast. The gold rush has only just begun. The question is, are you ready to launch or refine your podcast? Because if you are, don't wait, act. The Showrunner Podcasting course, developed by me and by Johnny, is open to the public again. But we're only accepting new students for 2 more days until February 19th, that's this Friday, 2016, at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Johnny and I have already been helping hundreds of people just like you since we launched the course in mid-2015, helping them develop the idea and plan for their first podcast, helping them execute successful launches for podcasts already in development, helping them refine and improve current podcasts. And we're really excited to help you too. And we have a proven system that we know will help. So if you agree that now is an incredible time to be hosting a podcast, which it is, then you need to consider our course, and we hope that you will. Go to showrunnercourse.com for more information. That's showrunnercourse.com. We are really excited to work with you. What do you think?
That was impressive.
Thank you. I practiced it a few times here in the hotel room.
That was dramatic.
Well, hopefully Toby adds the dramatic music underneath it to make it even more dramatic, which is the idea.
I think you will.
Hey, so also another key bit of news is that the course, we're closing it on Friday, but you and I also have a special event planned Friday, which we're going to do a live Showrunner huddle. It's a public huddle, so we invite everybody to go. It'll be at the same URL that all of our huddles are held at, which is rainmaker.fm/live. And basically, Johnny, you and I are going to, we'll have something to present on. We'll answer questions about podcasting. We'll answer questions about the course. We'll answer questions about your t-shirts, about my hair, whatever people want to ask. we will answer questions. And we're going to go right up until the final gun, like literally right up until we close the course at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Mountain time. We're going to be at that huddle. We thought it'd be kind of a fun way to close the doors and hopefully get to interact and go deep with some Showrunner listeners. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Yeah, it'll be
fun. And your hair. I look forward to your hair.
I got a haircut.
I'm not sure how that fits in there, but I like this.
I'm feeling self-conscious about my hair, Johnny, because it got a little bit long, and Heather was making fun of me for it, actually, and telling me for about 2 weeks that I needed to get a haircut. But what I told her is there was a bit of a method to the madness, because I'm pretty sure that part of the reason why people recognized me when we went to Bloomington for our meetup is my hair kind of stood out. Now, it looked ridiculous, and people were making fun of the pictures and talking about how windblown it was and how ridiculous it was, but at least it made me stand out. But I don't want to be a punchline, so I did get a haircut.
Oh, see, and I haven't got a haircut in 6 months or something. So my hair, you can see it over, if you go back through the Showrunner huddles in the course and look, like every 2 weeks, it just progressively went from longer, like almost a buzz cut to, it's hilariously long now. And maybe I'll try and get one. Maybe I'll try and get a haircut for next.
Yeah,
Friday.
It's the course. The course is closing. We should, you know, we should look kempt.
All right. We could do that.
All right. I think we can do that.
As the host of this episode, I need to push us into the main topic because it's something that I'm really, really excited about. That I'm quite envious of you getting to witness yesterday. So what do you say? Should we jump into the main topic?
Let's do it. I can't wait.
All right, today's main topic is going to be, I'm going to say, brought to you by Jared Morris, because Jared is down in San Diego, as I mentioned earlier, at Traffic and Conversion Summit, which is put on by Digital Marketer, I believe.
Yeah, Digital Marketer.
Yeah, Ryan Dice. And he got, you listen to this show and you've heard me mention Gary Vaynerchuk probably, I think, 63 times now. Because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of what he does. I'm a fan of how he builds authority, not his celebrity, and how he practices what he preaches and lives and breathes it. And Jared yesterday at about 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock my time emailed me, "I'm going to see Gary Vee in 10 minutes. Speak." And I was like, oh, geez. So then he emailed me after and said that he learned some lessons from Gary, which I'm not surprised. So today, Jared is going to bring us lessons learned from Gary Vaynerchuk.
Man,
Traffic and Conversion Summit yesterday.
Tons of lessons. Like, I feel like we could almost break this up into two or three episodes, but I'll try to get them all in here. It was my first time seeing Gary Vee speak live, and obviously I've listened to his shows and watched him on YouTube, but I was really excited to actually see him in person, and he didn't disappoint. I mean, his energy is so great. You know, he doesn't use slides, and I'm sure that what he does is a very practiced speech. I mean, these are topics that he's clearly comfortable talking about, but there's just something so natural and authentic about him, which is a real joy to watch. And then, of course, what he says really rings true in so many ways. And so, I mean, I have a Google Doc filled with notes, and I spent some time this morning trying to distill those down into a few lessons that we can all talk about. And I'm really excited about this. So the first one, quite clearly, and obviously, John, after I say these lessons, I want to get your thoughts on them too, is, look, be yourself and be authentic. I mean, I'm not sure that there is a more just authentically himself person, like, in this industry, I don't know, maybe the world, than Gary Vee. Like, it's just, he is who he is. He's unapologetic about that. From even he calls it his hyperbole, you know, these strong, bold statements that he makes, all the way to his curse words, which there are many. But it's funny because they don't seem gratuitous when it's him saying them for some reason. I don't, like, the F word is literally almost every other word in the presentation, and it doesn't seem gratuitous. Like, it would if I did it, because that's not me, but it doesn't with him. And there's a lesson there about, you know, being authentic, being yourself, and just the way that he interacted with the people. I mean, he did a presentation for about 45 minutes and then answered questions afterwards. And it was only supposed to go for 15 minutes, but he wouldn't let Ryan Dice end the session. He just kept taking the next question and the next question and the next question. And there was this really funny moment where this guy from Australia got up and asked a question. And it's funny because earlier in the day, I had seen this guy walking around the exhibit hall and he was wearing glasses inside. And I thought to myself, man, who wears sunglasses inside? You know, just kind of one of those passing thoughts that you have. And so this guy gets up there and he's asking a question. And, you know, good looking guy, has his hair kind of slicked back a little bit. And so he asked this really detailed question, gets to the end of it. And Gary Vee's like, I have no idea what you just asked. You're so handsome. I couldn't concentrate on your question. So the guy replies, he's just like, well, you know, I think you're really, really smart. I mean, I think you're the smartest person in the room. So Gary Vee just looks at him again. He's like, should we go hook up now or what? It was just like, it was really funny. And it was just like this authentic, really human moment of him just relating with this guy and, you know, saying the kind of things that most people wouldn't say. But I just thought, you know, as someone myself who, you know, wants to present more and wants to get better at it, and even just on podcasts, just the ability to be yourself, to be authentic. And it's not something, as he even said, you know, when he first was doing his Wine Library TV shows, you know, I mean, he wasn't a professional by any means. He said it looked like he was, you know, a hostage in Afghanistan or something. But just over time and over practice, you get comfortable with what you're saying. You get comfortable being yourself. And his ability to be authentic and be himself it's inspiring and it's educational in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And there's so many things that I've learned from him. And that idea of how we talk about that coming up with your USP, what makes you unique, and really the only thing that can truly make you unique is being yourself, because nobody can obviously be that. But when you mentioned the bold statements, in the last episode, we talked about building authority, not celebrity. And this is something that I've picked up from him, and maybe it's been noticed, but it's the idea of making really bold statements. Making them bold, and then also his, like my New Year's resolution, which is to contradict myself more, also taken from Gary Vaynerchuk, because of the fact that you have to make these bold statements, and that is where authority comes from. And this is something that an editor brought up to me when I was submitting an article for somewhere, and then I was reading something else about writing, but it was the idea of whenever you're writing something and also speaking, don't say, I think, dot, 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 or in my opinion, dot, dot, dot. It's like, we know it's your opinion. Say it boldly and say it as a statement, because that's why you're writing it. That's why I'm saying it, because it's my opinion, but don't preface it with, because it kind of makes it wishy-washy. You'll never hear Gary Vaynerchuk say, in my opinion, this. He's just like, this is how it is.
Yep.
And he says, whether that's right or wrong, and whether what I say today, I probably will contradict myself next week, but that doesn't matter, because those people listening take it as a statement. That statement brings me authority. Mm-hmm. And that authority is what we're looking for. So when you're podcasting or when you're writing, when you're creating anything, don't say in my opinion. We know it's your opinion. Don't say this is what I think. Just say it, and say it as boldly as you can with your own personality. And whether that's right or wrong, and whether people get attracted to that or pushed away from it, it doesn't matter, because the people who are attracted and stay because they like what you're saying will see you as the authority if you say it with authority.
And that leads perfectly into the second lesson, because there is a danger in doing that, Johnny, which is that if you just make bold statements, but you don't have anything to back them up, people will be able to sniff out your BS. And so I think, you know, there were a couple times where he would make a bold statement, but then he would tell a story about something he's actually done, which is why he believes what he's saying. And he would just turn to the audience and basically be a practitioner, mother effort, which it's funny. We just had the conversation about not muting cuss words if you're going to say them. But for some reason, I feel uncomfortable saying that word on the showrunner.
That's a good one. That's a doozy.
Yeah. Maybe we shouldn't let that one out. But you know, and his big idea was, you got to actually do this stuff. Like, get in, get your hands dirty. You know, he can talk about Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and all of these different methods because he's in there doing it. And he's figured out what works. And if something stops working or isn't working as well, he'll move on to the next thing. He's not worried about, you know, making sure that what he said in 2008 is still true. He's worried about making sure that what he says today works. And that part of that is being a practitioner and actually doing the work. That's one of the reasons why you and I can come on here on the Showrunner and make bold statements about podcasting, because when we're not doing the Showrunner, you're hosting Hack the Entrepreneur 3 days a week, and I'm hosting the Assembly Call and Podcast on the Brink and Primality Primer and the Digital Entrepreneur. Like, we're out there, we're practitioners of podcasting, and so we can make strong statements and people believe them, because they know we're out there doing it. And so it's a big lesson for whatever your show is about. You've got to be a practitioner of that thing. And then you do have a license to make those bold statements, because they're going to be grounded in reality and in your own experience. And if they're not, people will know it. But that's, you know, I think Gary does a great job on stage and in his content of bringing that back around to people, because you can get lost in some of the hyperbole of what he's saying and start thinking, well, wait a minute, this guy is just making these strong statements, but where does he have to back it up? And then he'll tell you a story that backs it up. And so it's very important that you have both of those things there.
Yeah, good clarification. I totally didn't mean to just say make bold statements. I just mean when you're going to say something, say it with authority.
Yep.
Because that's where the authority comes from. Say it like you mean it. Don't say it. It's like from selling, we talk it like we say selling from your heels. Like when it comes time to sell to your audience, sell hard, because you've earned it. As Gary would say, as long as you've jabbed enough times, then that right hook, you deserve it. But don't be like, oh, well, maybe you would like, because this might kind of help you. Create something that is so valuable that you have to push it. You have to push it hard, and you know that it will help them, but do it with authority and push it. Like, just really stand behind it. That's all I mean, I guess, more so than bold statements. Don't just say things to catch attention, but just don't preface it with, well, what I think is, just tell me what you think.
Well, and as an example, that call to action that I did the reading of earlier about the course, we didn't say we think we have a proven system that will help. It's we have a proven system that we know will help. It's not we think you should consider our course. It's you need to consider our course. And we can say that because people have gone through the course. We know it's helped. And we've been here. We know what podcasters, what showrunners go through. So you want to get to that point. And you're exactly right, Johnny, in how those need to be phrased. Okay, so we've got be yourself and be authentic. Be a practitioner, mother blanker. And then the next lesson is, and this was kind of his big point that he kept coming back to, which I thought was really insightful, which is understand that we're all day trading attention. And what he means by that is we all have a finite amount of time, amount of resources that we can spend doing anything. And so what you are doing right now, whether it's promotion, whether it's, you know, whatever you're doing, you may be making, let's put a monetary value on it, you're making $400,000, okay? But what if you could take some of those monies that you're investing in that, some of that time, some of that effort, and double your results? So just because it's working, what if it could work twice as well? What if it could work four times as well? And what if what you're doing right now, what if there is going to be a diminishing return on it because the value of that is going to go down because the cost will go up as mediums mature, as new things come along? And the example that he uses often is Facebook, right? If we talk about paid traffic, for example, is still a great source of it. And you can still get very valuable traffic, attention to your site through Facebook. But Facebook traffic costs more now than it did 2 years ago for the people who were in there early. Whereas now, something like Snapchat, which is on the rise, if you're in there now, then the price of that attention will cost less than it will in 2 years. And so it's all about, you know, making sure that we're understanding this idea that we're day trading attention, making sure that we're paying attention to trends. And look, we don't all have time to sit here and do this. As Gary says, that's the value he sees him providing to his audience. That's what he thinks is something that he does very well. So it's not necessarily something that you have to be sitting there studying Facebook trends, but it is a big idea to understand because, and this kind of gets into, you know, another lesson of his, which is you've got to practice self-awareness and every now and then step back and analyze what you're doing, analyze what you're good at, analyzing the returns that you're getting on it, because there may be someplace better, something else that you would get a better return investing your time, investing your efforts into.
Yeah, that's great. Don't just fix what's broken in your business. Like, try and like improve things that are already working and you think are working great, because things change so fast, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as we get lazy and just sort of rest on our laurels, that's when we get beat. It's just how it works.
Yep. And as he says, he wakes up every day trying to break his business. You know,
yeah.
And it's true. Okay, so that's the third one. Moving on to the fourth one, which really dovetails nicely with the previous one. And this, I'm pretty sure this is a direct quote that he said. Every day that someone is better at something than you are, something else comes along that gives you an at-bat. So what does that mean? Well, say that you didn't jump on the Instagram train, right? Snapchat is here now. It's still early that you can jump in on, and maybe that will give you a connection with your audience, and you can now be one of the first ones there to get going, right? Podcasting, I think, is still in that spot. I know we think of podcasting as it's starting to become this really mature thing because so many people are doing it, but that's really just within kind of our own echo chamber, because obviously when you start interacting with showrunners, you see all these people starting podcasts, you see a lot of new options popping up, but there's still two-thirds of the U.S. population that hasn't even listened to a podcast yet as of early 2015. Those numbers will change because they're on the rise, but there's still a huge market of folks who aren't listening to podcasts yet. And podcasting right now, to me, is something else that gives you an at-bat. Right? Maybe you didn't launch a blog 10 years ago, but you can launch a podcast today and still get in pretty early and develop an audience as the medium is still growing. And so this idea, we often look back and lament the opportunities that we missed, but especially with technology and with the internet, there's always something new coming around that gives you an at-bat. So be ready. Don't sulk. Don't take your ball and go home. Don't get frustrated. Wait for that next thing or find the thing that is there right now, which podcasting is, as an example, that gives you an at-bat, step up to the plate, and this may be your chance to hit a single, hit a double, or even hit one out of the park.
Yeah, and are we saying that podcasting is just a thing because we have a course for sale right now?
I don't think so. I believe it.
And I was only saying because, I mean, of all the things that Gary Vaynerchuk is pushing for people to do, dude is all in on podcasting.
Yeah.
And it's only been, well, he started right at the exact same time I started Hack the Entrepreneur. And he does the video one that goes to audio. He outputs both as whatever one you want to take. And then he also puts it to YouTube, all one source of content distributed in three different ways. And he does it almost daily still to this day, because he knows as much as he tries the new things, because he has to stay on top of it with Snapchat and all these things. But to him, podcasting, he's all in, and he knows that's where platforms are being built. And I don't think it's going to change for a long time. I mean, Gary Vaynerchuk is known because of Wine Library,
yep,
which was basically a video podcast on YouTube.
Yeah.
But years and years and years ago.
Yes.
So that's all I was going to say, is that we're not just saying that for that reason.
No.
It's strictly because this is why we are all fully in, just all in on podcasting.
Yes. All right. So going on with that one is Gary's idea about, don't get romantic about how you did it, and don't be sad that it's changing. So this same idea that something else is coming along, well, guess what? Other people are stepping up to the plate. And so, you know, to stay ahead, and this goes back even to the idea of understanding that we're all day trading attention, we can't get romantic that this worked in the past, and we can't get sad that it's changing and upset that these new things are coming around, because in that romance, in that line in the sand where we say, well, I've always done this on Twitter, and so I'll always do it here, and I'm not going to try this new thing, that's where all the money is to be made. This idea of attention arbitrage that Gary talks about a lot, because, you know, we'll stick with the things that we've been doing, but the market will pass us by. The place where our audience is will pass us by. And so it's important to be cognizant of that and to understand. It's like with the assembly call, right? We started that show, the big idea was about taking calls, and we did it on Blog Talk Radio, and it was all audio, right? That's how we built it for the first couple of years. But then the ability to do video became better, and people started expecting video. And so we couldn't get romantic about the fact that we set this up one way, and this is kind of how we've done it. We needed to evolve, and our show has grown because of that. And the same thing is happening right now, where we've built this audience with a show that's a Google Hangout, and then we post it as a podcast, this kind of new, cool, unique idea. But guess what? Now radio stations are interested in simulcasting content. So we can't get romantic about how we did it, we've got to look and see there are new opportunities and things are changing all the time. And maybe there's a better way to do it than Google Hangouts. And we'll have to look at that. And so if we sit there and get romantic about how we've always done it, we'll miss the opportunities that are coming and someone else will come and they'll take our spot. They'll be there first. And it's not all about being there first, but you do have to get there eventually and you need to get there before it's too late. And if we sit there too romantic about how we've always done things, then we'll miss that opportunity.
Yeah, totally. Excuses are not a good strategy. And especially if you come from a market like, say, the legal world, accounting, finance, these places where there's massive markets and there's pent-up demand, but there's so much sort of pullback of people wishing or trying to hold technology back, trying to hold podcasting back, trying to hold all these things back from their industry because they think that it's sad that it's changing. And you're absolutely right. Like Gary with wine, I mean, offline wine sales, who would have thought to start a video about that, like a video YouTube channel about that, but it massively scaled his business. You can think about this. So you can't change the fact that these technologies exist, that these technologies are pushing audiences forward, especially to build authority and then make purchases. You can't change this. Be the person at the forefront of your industry making these changes first. Trust me, because then people are going to follow you. And if you don't make it first, somebody else is going to do it. Then you're going to think, wow, this actually does work. And you're going to be the one following behind. Make that change. There's no stopping these things. And there's no point to just being sad about it. Just go for it because this technology is there for you. And there's so many industries where it is not utilized yet, and it should be.
By the way, I have a podcast recommendation for later that goes perfectly with this idea, which we'll get to. But okay, I have one more big lesson from Gary Vee, and it kind of tied everything together at the conference. I mean, this conference, Traffic and Conversion Conference, I've really had a good time, have really learned a lot. It was nice because we came here as a sponsor. Rainmaker Platform was sponsoring one of the parties. And so Caroline were here. We got a chance to interact with a lot of people about the platform, answer their questions, you know, learn about their experiences. And then that was the first night. And then yesterday, just got to sit in on so many of the sessions. And it's been really, really good. So I do highly recommend this conference. They do a good job. The information is really good. And one of the big ideas, kind of the big overarching idea that Ryan Dice kicked it off with at his opening keynote was the merging of basically branding and direct response, right? So if we talk about these two different ideas, you know, branding is building the awareness, building the trust, building the equity in your brand name. Think, you know, commercials at the Super Bowl, where they're not asking you for the most part to go do anything, except for a few of the commercials that ask you to download an app, something like that. They're trying to get you to know them better. They're trying to paint the picture of their brand, create an emotional response in you that gives you a connection to this brand. And then you've got direct response, which is, if you're looking at the Super Bowl commercials, you know, the few that ask you to download an app or the email that you got from us recently, if you're a Showrunner subscriber or if you're on some of the other lists at Rainmaker Digital, you probably got an email from us describing the Showrunner course and suggesting that you check it out. That is direct response, where you're asking for a specific action from people. And it's the idea of this merging of the two, that you can't just have one and you can't just have the other. Because if all you focus on is branding, but you never actually ask for the sale, then you're gonna have a great brand, but you're going to go broke. But if all you ever do is ask for the sale and you're constantly withdrawing out of this kind of bank account of equity that you have with your audience or with your customers, well, then you may make some money in the short term, but you're not going to build that brand equity that will help you grow and sustain over the long term. And so it's been a big idea at this conference. It's a really important one for everyone to think about. And Johnny, you and I think about it with the Showrunner, where obviously we have this course. And there are times when we're launching that we're going to pitch the course because, I mean, A, it's the way that this show is monetized, and B, it will really help people who we want to help. It helps people take the next step to becoming a showrunner. But if all we did was pitch the course, people wouldn't buy into this brand of the showrunner, and they wouldn't think of themselves as showrunners and connect to us like they do. So we've also got to build that brand, which we do with the free blab sessions and with the episodes each week. And so getting that balance is so important. And what Gary talked about is practicing self-awareness, really getting down, knowing what you're good at, knowing how you can serve people, and then looking in the mirror and auditing yourself as it relates to this idea of sales and direct response, right? Or branding and direct response, especially if you're good at sales, as he said, because he's a great salesman. And I think he has to, at times, you know, force himself to do the branding part, even though it's so easy, or you know, feels so easy for him. And he's gotten so good at the direct response part. But getting to that 50-50, especially in this day and age, you know, of where marketing is and what the internet allows and what it reveals, getting that to 50-50 as much as you can so that you're building a brand, but still building a business at the same time is so, so, so important. And so that's what I would leave everybody with, you know, in terms of these lessons, is to really take that step back and practice that self-awareness and figure out where you are, figure out where your show is, because you may not be right in that sweet spot in the middle. And it may be time for you to be a little bit bolder and ask people, you know, go to your calls to action, ask people to get on your list, you know, tell people about the course that you have for sale. Or maybe you're doing that too much. You're not building the brand you want. So you take a step back and you work on really deepening those relationships first. But what's important is understanding where you are and what that next decision needs to be so that you make that next action a productive one.
I love it. Earn the right to sell.
Exactly.
You've probably earned it more than you even know. I'm going to guess that most people listening are more into the brand building, more into the giving amazing, valuable content over and over. But when it comes to selling, it's often hard for us. But as I learned with my book, I had not sold anything like for over a year to my podcast audience. And the pent-up demand was so much that I was actually hurting my brand because of it. And then giving them that, it's made people so happy that they have a way to pay me at least a tiny bit for everything that I've done. So you've earned the right to sell. Now take that and that right and really make the sale.
Practitioner, mother blanker.
Oh, I love that.
I will never be able to curse as boldly as Gary Vaynerchuk. It will never happen. And I'm okay with that because that's me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But it was phenomenal watching him speak live. So if you get a chance, do it. And he will answer your question. Like, literally go up to the mic and ask a question because he'll get to it. He did not want to leave. You could tell.
So, yeah. That was awesome. Thanks for sharing, Jared.
Yes. Thanks for allowing me to.
So let's jump into some podcast recommendation.
Let's do it. You want me to go first?
Well, did you notice how I didn't pluralize podcast recommendation? That wasn't a mistake. That was literally me forgetting to come up with a recommendation for a podcast.
You're hosting this episode, Johnny. It's a big responsibility. You need to focus on that. I can handle the podcast recommendation.
Yeah, because as the host, I've decided that I think one podcast recommendation is enough for this episode.
Actually,
because of what you just dropped for value already, it's kind of, you know.
Maybe you should go prepare for your dramatic reading of the showrunner call to action while I do this recommendation. So we talked earlier about, you know, you were talking about this idea of, we talked about this idea of breaking your business, you know, kind of trying these new things, going out there, you know, not just relying on what's always worked, but working to get better and try new things and even break your business. And Chris Garrett and Tony Clark, the host of The Mainframe, did an episode about this that was so great. I listened to it last weekend. Heather was gone. I took the opportunity to clean our gutters, which is about as exciting as it sounds, getting up on the ladder, taking the leaves out of the gutter. But I had the sounds of Chris Garrett and Tony Clark in my ear joining me while I cleaned the gutter. So Chris and Tony, thank you, number one, for being my friends during that otherwise rather painful experience. But it was such a great educational episode, and it's called Why Failure is Always an Option. And it's not about just excusing or expecting failure or not doing your best because it's okay to fail, which is so the wrong idea when it kind of comes to this idea of failure is okay. But it's the idea that failure is okay when you're pushing the envelope, when you're trying new things, when you're testing what you're doing, when you're adding something new so that you can test it against something that you've always been doing, and understanding that you're likely to fail and you will probably fail a lot, but it's okay because you'll learn something from it. And sometimes not failing is actually the worst thing that can happen, because something can succeed, but you have no idea really what it was about that thing that helped it succeed. So there's nothing really that you can extrapolate from it to really bank on the next time. You're kind of hoping that what you did before will work again. Whereas when something fails, at least you know that it doesn't work and you can move on from it. So I really recommend this episode. It's rainmaker.fm/audio/mainframe/failure, which is an awful way to recommend the podcast to you, because that's a hard URL to remember. But if you go to showrunner.fm and go to the show notes for episode number 46, you will find it. Or you can go to the mainframe.fm, and that's a great way to find it. And actually, it reminds me of advice that my aunt gave me about dating many years ago, which is that you're not dating necessarily to find the one that you're going to be with. You're dating to find all the ones that you don't want to be with, and to find out all the things in a relationship that don't work for you, so that when you do find the person, you know, and you have a real firm belief that it's right, because you've had all this experience telling you what's not right. Which I always thought was great advice, which is the reason that I knew that I was crazy about Heather when I first met her, because I had gone through all of these other, you know, experiences that told me what wasn't right for me. And it's the same thing with our businesses, with our podcasts. Failure is an option. Don't excuse it. Don't just think that it's okay to fail because you're not working hard or putting in the effort or trying. That's not okay. But, you know, this idea of failing forward and trying new things, that in that sense, failure is an option. And in fact, sometimes it's good and can help push you forward even more than success can. So they say it much better than me and give great examples. So listen to them. Don't just take my word for it. But the mainframe, why failure is always an option.
Great recommendation. That made up for the lack of another recommendation, I'm going to say.
I figured I would throw my aunt's dating recommendation in there to substitute for your lack of podcast recommendation. She's a wise woman. She should actually host a podcast.
She should.
She's got some stories to tell. So I think it's now time for our final call to action. Johnny, if you're ready. All right, everybody. And now, a dramatic reading of the showrunner call to action from Johnny Naster.
You've heard all the talk about podcasts. They're so hot right now. They help you create a powerful connection with your audience, and the technology to produce them isn't as complicated as you might think. This is why so many podcast audiences are growing and why so many people are launching new podcasts. Also, it's why big brands are pouring more and more money into podcast advertising. All of which makes this moment right now an undeniably great time to be a podcast listener. But is it still a good time to actually launch a podcast, or is the audio gold rush over? I sure hope not. I don't think it is, though. It's a great time to launch a podcast. The gold rush has only just begun. Are you ready to launch or refine your podcast? Then don't wait. Act. The Showrunner Podcasting course is open to the public again, but we're only accepting new students for 2 more days from the day this episode goes live. That is until Friday, February 19th, 2016, at 5 p.m. Pacific. Jared Morris and I have already
Toby, don't you dare edit this. Don't you dare edit this. Keep it going.
Jared Morris and I have already been helping hundreds of people just like you since we launched the course in mid-2015. Helping them develop the idea and plan for their first podcast. Helping them execute successful launches for podcasts. This is why I pre-record these things.
But it's so
also
much more fun when it's live.
Helping them refine and improve current podcasts so they can be as professional as this one. If you agree that now is an incredible time to be hosting a podcast, and it is, then you need to consider our course right now. Go to showrunnercourse.com and check it out right now. That's showrunnercourse.com.
See, Johnny, I think that was beautiful, because it's not about professionalism. As Alex Bloomberg said, it's about companionship.
Wow, I don't think I want myself as a companion during that.
No, I do. I do. See, I think your call to action was much more inviting even than some other ones that we've done, even mine. I liked yours. Like, there was something more real about it.
Thanks, man.
I liked it.
I appreciate that.
Hey, you know, I mean, think about it. Do you want to hang out with someone who I don't know, like, is always kind of like buttoned up and everything's, you know, I don't know. There's something more, there's more real about what you did and what a podcast should be. Anyway, when you said professional, thinking to myself, it's not about being professional. It's about being real, being authentic, and inviting companionship. I want to be your friend because of that call to action.
Yes. Well, you can be my friend, Jared, by going to showrunnercourse.com right now and voting with your money.
That suggests that I have to pay to be your friend. I just want everybody to know, yeah, all the showrunners listening, we will be your friend whether you join the course or not.
Oh, yeah. No, that was just specifically for you,
Jared. Okay.
Just specifically for you.
And also, we should let folks know again that we will be hosting a public showrunner huddle on Friday, February 19th. That will start at 3:30 Pacific time, because we're going to go for an hour and a half, and the course closes at 5 o'clock Pacific time. So it'll start at 6:30 Eastern time, 5:30 Central time, 4:30 Mountain time, 3:30 Pacific time. We'll go for about an hour and a half, all the way up until the course closes at 5 o'clock Pacific time on the 19th. Bring your questions, bring your comments, bring your thoughts, bring your stories about podcasting, bring anything that you want. It's going to be a fun hour and a half celebrating the joy and the art of podcasting, and we can't wait.
As the host of this episode, I think that we did really well, and I think that your lessons were really helpful. I felt like I was there getting to witness Gary Vaynerchuk myself on stage, and I feel like I get to take part in traffic and conversion, which is something that I will take part in someday. And yeah, great recommendation for a podcast. Make sure to check that out. It will be in the show notes, and this is your last chance. The Showrunner Course is closing in 2 days, so go to showrunnercourse.com. Otherwise, I want to thank my lovely co-host today, Jared Morris, all the way from San Diego, California. And
that's an odd choice of adjective, but I'll take it.
Come on, man. It's what makes you unique. Your loveliness.
Lovely. Well, thank you.
All right. This has been fun.
Yes.
Thanks so much, Jared. And thank you for listening. We'll hopefully see you inside the course.
Longest outro ever.